Welcome back to our podcast,
Chronically Iconic Mistakes.
I'm your host, Jocelyn.
And your co-host, Raya.
Recently, I have been driven by cold cases that are in my own backyard. And a case was brought up to me by my coworker that has stuck with me for some time now. Mindy Morgan was a student who was adopted and raised in Salem, North Dakota. And while all the cases I research weigh on me, this case actually had me just about in tears. And Raya, you know that emotions aren't really my forte.
Yeah, which sucks because emotions are all I know, so.
That is a really good point.
Man, maybe that's why we work.
Probably. Oxygen did a series on Mindy that included her adoptive parents, and you can, like, literally feel the love they had for their daughter. Just, like, emanating from the screen. It's the worst, but, like, in a good way.
Aww.
You can see the grief glistening in their eyes, but their daughter lives on through her parents' memories. And it really made me think, like, who's gonna do that for me when I die?
Me?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I thought that was, like, you not remembering.
No, I was setting you up.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is a test, yes, and I passed with flying colors, bitches.
Fuck yeah. Mindy's parents brought her home after immediately connecting with her at the agency. They lived on a farm, and they described Mindy as a hardworking tomboy who was extremely comfortable in her own skin. And, like, you can totally see it in photos. This girl was confident. I guess she enjoyed helping out as soon as she was old enough to pitch in, and she's even, like, photographed on, like, a tractor getting a day's work done at a pretty young age.
See, this is a really good success story for adoption, too, because you hear all of those fucked up stories, and, like, I don't know, she landed in good hands.
Yeah, and it made me kind of sad that, like, I accidentally picked two cases from North Dakota, and both were adopted kids.
Oh, man.
So that's kind of interesting. I feel like we don't have that happen a whole lot.
Yeah, we don't. And, like, for it to be in North Dakota of all places.
Yeah, and, like, happy families. Like, it's kind of wild.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I do have to add, Mindy was, like, stunning. Like, we'll post photos in our show notes, but I was just, like, blown away by, like, her confidence and beauty, not necessarily just, like, her being pretty, because, like, almost all of our victims are gorgeous, but...
I mean, all victims are gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't know, it came off really bad, but I didn't mean it that way.
Ugly people don't deserve to die.
I definitely wasn't going there, so if you connected that dot, like, that's on you.
Just disclaimer.
Yes. Now, what is extremely concerning to me is that Mindy's parents quickly talk about her response to questions about her skin being a different color than that of her family. While most of the states are extremely progressive, I will say that moving to North Dakota has been like stepping into a time machine and being transported to the past.
Mm-hmm.
Despite having like literally so much diversity here, I have noticed prejudice when it comes to people's color, especially the local indigenous, which I have actually never recalled experiencing in Michigan.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can say with confidence that this state is very pretty, but their Midwestern nice is absolutely not what I have been shown while being here.
Mm.
Like, I mean, I'm like, I've told you so many stories of like people just being real weird about my tattoos. So I can only imagine like people with different colored skin.
Yeah. And obviously it shouldn't be like that, but that's just literally the world we live in right now.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not everyone. Like, everybody at work is super good about my tattoos. It's just, like, certain people are not outside of work. With that being said, I don't know if that played a part in this case at all. I literally have no way of knowing. It's just an observation that really bummed me out.
Yeah.
Mindy was very active in sports, specifically basketball, and she planned on going to college to focus on sports medicine, or like literally just anything revolving around that. And this is actually another one of those cases where this is like a really common major here, and it's a really good program to go into just because if you're going to work here, it's going to be like education, basically.
Yeah, because, you know, it's probably very hard to get specific careers.
Yeah, that's like all we when got you're going, there. So.
Yeah. You have to major, unless you want to move away, you have to major with what they already have.
Exactly. So when it came time to apply for college, Mindy had many options, but she did choose Valley State University. She had no idea that that decision would ultimately lead to a series of unfortunate events that no one could ever have predicted.
Another university story.
I know.
It's crazy.
Shortly after attending VCSU, Mindy was rushed to the hospital by her parents after calling them because, like, half of her face, like, went numb. Mm. She was given the news that she likely had MS. And, I mean, this would have been a very difficult diagnosis for a student interested in sports medicine, and I can, like, really resonate with how crushing this must have been for her.
Yeah, I mean, MS is such a awful, like, disease.
Oh, yeah,
definitely. I mean, I can't even imagine, like, being diagnosed with that.
Yeah, I really can't either. And despite such a heavy diagnosis, Mindy's family and friends reported that she never slowed down. She continued pursuing her dream despite having some, like, gait issues on occasion. And while I'm sure Mindy was, like, a very strong woman, as someone who's experienced a serious diagnosis that stopped me from sports, I can absolutely promise you that she was grieving her past self, even if she wasn't showing it. Like, and I honestly, the reason I'm noting it is because, like, it's completely normal, and I just was really uncomfortable with how Oxygen really pushed that narrative.
Yeah.
Mindy's friend, Tony, had tried to reach her throughout the day, and she found it, like, super odd when she didn't answer any of her calls. And Mindy's family and friends all described her as someone who always answered her phone, no matter what time it was. She was, like, one of those people you could call at 2 in the morning with an emergency, and she would answer her phone and, like, figure it out.
Ugh, man, that's so difficult.
It really is. So when Mindy didn't return her calls, she actually went to check on her that day. Like, she did not wait.
Oh, good.
When Tony arrived, she had immediate relief when she sees her car parked in the driveway, but still decided to check in on her anyways. As Tony pushed open the door, a strong odor of Pine Sol was likely the first sign that something was wrong. Walking into that apartment would change her life forever.
Man, these stories have similar things happen, and they're both from ND.
They do, and, like, I actually totally thought these were connected for a hot second when I did them, but unfortunately, yeah. I'm just, like, grasping at straws because this one is solved, and it's, like, dead set.
It's just fucking weird that they come from the same state.
Yeah, it's totally, like, a weird coincidence, though.
Like, you better be careful around Pine Sol and the universities.
Right? Tony found Morgan's lifeless body on the floor with a belt wrapped around her neck. The lanyard that held her keys was still dangling from her arm. Her wallet and cell phone were scattered around her. Horrified, Tony immediately let out a scream that actually attracted some attention. Immediately, a man named Robert Linz rushed in after hearing Tony's scream. So immediate that it was almost suspicious. I mean, statistically speaking, when you hear someone scream, people are more likely to avoid confrontation. It's actually really rare someone rushes to help.
Yeah, he would be my first suspect. And it almost seems like she, like, died when she first opened the apartment. Like, she wasn't even, like, settled or anything.
Yeah, it seems like she was just walking in. Robert immediately jumps into action, checking her pulse. And this isn't, like, an unusual thing to do when you come across someone lying on the floor. But what was unusual is that he actually used the back of his hand, and then he later tells police he did this to ensure he did not leave fingerprints on her lifeless body.
Hmm. Only somebody who knows what they're doing would do that.
Yeah, like, most people in that situation would never think about tampering with evidence, and it's actually, like, kind of a huge problem because, like, shit gets moved around.
I wouldn't even think to check the fucking pulse.
Like, I would think to do it, but I also would probably call 911 as I'm doing it because, like, why waste time if you don't know?
You've also been, like, in, like, the medical-ish field, so...
That's true, too. Like, you don't know how people are going to react, and sometimes it's, like, on-the-job training that makes you think a certain way. Detectives immediately saw this as a red flag. It's not common to hear someone use terminology such as, like, fingerprints when they came into a room to help someone. These red flags made detectives more aware, and he actually noticed that Robert had, like, scratches on his arm.
Wow, I would throw him in jail right fucking then.
Yeah, dude, same. So, I mean, obviously they're super suspicious of Robert because it's very common for the murderer to place themselves at the scene of the crime during the initial investigation. And I mean, we've talked about this so many times.
Mm-hmm.
They do it because when you find evidence, they want to have a reason to say that, like, oh yeah, it's there because I was helping you.
Or also, I mean, it seems like he was still trying to kind of clean up the crime scene, in my opinion.
Exactly. Like, you have a chance to, like, control what happens with the investigation. Mm-hmm. This case quickly became personal for Sergeant Dave Swenson, who knew Mindy personally from seeing her at, like, college events and stuff. I mean, Valley City is a pretty small town, like, almost literally every town in North Dakota is, so it's not surprising. But, you know, it creates that, like, community where, like, everybody knows everybody kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Police quickly got to work, and I truly believe that they did everything, like, the best they could. They began interviewing neighbors in the apartment building, and lucky for them, Mo Gibbs, a local officer, lived in the apartment building, and he was able to, like, report, like, yeah, it did smell very strong of, like, pine sol, but I didn't necessarily see, like, anything out of the ordinary because he did, like, come back for his lunch break. And, I mean, yeah. After all, a fellow officer living at the same place as a crime scene, like, what are the chances?
Was that sarcasm?
No, I just mean, like, literally, what are the chances? Like, that's so helpful to have, like, another set of eyes.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm so, like, in the zone. I feel like that cop has to have something to do with it.
We'll see. Investigators were able to create a list of suspects very quickly. I guess Mindy really disliked Tony's boyfriend at the time, and his name was James Robinson. And Mindy frequently encouraged her to end her relationship with him because of, like, some scary behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Police got to work interviewing James, who immediately admitted to having a record of various drug charges. But he was actually doing community service because of these charges and then immediately hung out with some of his friends during the time of Mindy's murder. And, I mean, his alibi was quickly confirmed. And despite this, the police still ran his DNA, finding that it was not a match for anything found on the crime scene.
And we also know, like, criminals, they are treated a lot differently when in a police station. So DNA was probably ran because they are biased.
Yeah, absolutely. But one thing I will say about both of these cases is that, like, they were not shy to run DNA. And that's, like, so refreshing to see.
Yeah, I feel like that should be everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like the cost of running DNA needs to come the fuck down.
Yeah. Well, I don't really know how much it costs, but, like, is it that outrageous?
It can be when you're running a lot of DNA like this.
Just make it free. Like, just print more money. What the fuck?
Oh my god, dude, I feel that in school. Like,
you why? Guys could make the prices.
You can literally print the money. Just print the money.
Like, you're the police. Just talk to the fucking president.
Right, goddamn. Oh, man. With James cleared as a suspect, the police began to focus on a coworker that Mindy had reported feeling, like, very uncomfortable around. And for some reason, her ex-boyfriend's father, I was unable to find a reason that he was a suspect, but for some reason, like, just hearing, like, an ex-boyfriend's father just gave me, like, fucking shivers. Ew.
And, like, I'm sure, like, somebody was told somebody, like, hey, she felt uncomfortable, so they were like, all right, well, I guess we'll go with this one.
Yeah, like, that's so awkward and just, like, cringy. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the investigators' hard work and dedication to this case, the suspect was someone they never would have expected and eventually landed right in their laps. Investigators ran DNA recovered from underneath Mindy's fingernails, and it was a match.
Who was it?
The DNA matched Mo Gibbs, the officer who was questioned and quickly overlooked because he was on the force.
Which happens more often than it should, and I was fucking right.
Totally right. But it gets so much worse, dude. Let's get into it, but it's, like, terrible.
Yeah, you're the suspense. Come on.
I know, I'm sorry. If that wasn't surprising enough, Gibbs should have never been welcomed on the force to begin with.
Mm.
Somehow, he managed to pass his background check because he actually changed his name prior to employment, which is super sketchy.
Should that even matter if they have his social?
I didn't think it would, but then I was, like, thinking about it, and I know some places, like, if you say, like, oh, I only lived in, like, these states, they'll actually only check those states because it's, like, cheaper.
Huh.
We used to do that at primary.
I mean, I guess I get that, but when you're, like, have people's lives in your hands, maybe fucking don't.
Yeah. I mean, they absolutely dropped the fucking ball there. Like, you gotta be really thorough on background checks when you're doing police.
See, recruiting. That's like, one place you shouldn't have tried to cut corners.
No, absolutely. Like, that's the one area you should probably be, like, solid on.
Like, let's take a budget out of something else, guys. Come on.
Yeah, I know. And, like, I'm sure maybe it was just, like, a mistake, but I just feel like you're right. Like, that's the one area when you're recruiting, like, you need to be good at.
Yeah.
So, originally, Mo Gibbs was named Glenn Dale Morgan Jr., and he had spent 5 years in prison for participating in a drive-by shooting. Not to mention, he served 4 years in a military prison after he attempted premeditated murder.
Well, I hope ND changed their background checking.
I really do too, because this is like, it keeps getting worse. Like, we're not even done with him. Like,
I definitely get, like, murderers can be rehabilitated to not, like, murder again, but obviously this was not the case.
Yeah, and, like, even if you are rehabilitated out of prison, you probably shouldn't be a police officer. Like, I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah.
Like, there are other careers I'm cool with you being in, just not this one.
You wanted power. That's what I go to. You found a way to prey on people.
Yeah, and that's absolutely what it is. And that's what we see as we end this case. Mm-hmm. Somehow, this case just gets worse and worse and worse. I mean, when they ran the DNA found underneath Mindy's fingers, it was actually a match for another cold case in Fargo, North Dakota. And it's what I can only find described as a brutal sexual assault. Mo Gibbs, or should I say Morgan, was on the police force committing horrible acts right underneath the nose of his fellow officers.
Fucking goddamn it. Don't, like, their DNA get ran in the system when they become police? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's why they had it on there, but I don't, like, I know they take it. I don't know if they run it and match anything, though. I'm really unsure on that. I feel
like that should be a fucking thing.
I do agree. I feel like that totally should be a thing. And, I mean, we don't know when, like, he was, I don't know when he was, like, hired and then when that assault happened. So, I mean,
right,
they
yeah.
could have ran it.
It was probably after.
Yeah, not, like, mm-hmm. seen it.
Maybe it should be ran, like, frequently enough for that to be a thing.
It really should. Investigators were stunned by the news, but acted quickly and invited Gibbs into the station to go over the details of Mindy's case just, like, one more time. But this time, the investigators went into the interview without their biases. They noticed that Gibbs had healing scratches on his arms, and when confronted, he kept his story simple. He said he was in Mindy's apartment before her death, but I mean only because she needed help carrying some things inside. He was just being a friendly neighbor, a nice guy.
But, like, that didn't answer the question. Why do you have fucking scratches?
Exactly. Like, it's kind of a spoiler alert, bro.
Spoiler alert, you're a fucking murderer.
We all know that anyone who claims to be a nice guy is actually a wolf in sheep's clothing, and I mean, he's living proof of that theory.
Yeah, you can't say that anymore, like.
He totally can't. Despite DNA evidence, Gibbs continues to deny any involvement in Mindy's murder or the sexual assault case in Fargo.
How do you just do that? Like, we have all of your shit, but no, I didn't do it. Like,
yeah. That's, like, embarrassing.
You're not important enough for somebody to fucking try and get you put away, dude. Sorry.
Yeah, like, just stop. And officers did not waste time gathering any more evidence. They did not want this man out on the streets because they knew this might give him more time to find his next victim. Gibbs was arrested, but sadly our story doesn't stop here.
It's really nice that they actually, like, I don't know, I see the, like, police cover up so much in stories like
yeah.
this. Like, I'm glad they didn't try to, like, I don't know, hey, you're suspended. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, suspended with no pay, bad, you know,
yeah,
bad cop, whatever. Like, yeah, they seem to get right on it and they're just like, no, get your ass in here.
Mm-hmm.
Once arrested, inmates that Gibbs had overseen reported that they were actually sexually assaulted by their suspect. Mm-hmm. One woman even claimed that she was digitally assaulted by Gibbs before leaving work prior to Mindy's murder. I couldn't find details on, like, this digital assault, but I guess it wasn't included in her case for whatever reason.
You know, we fucking see this way too much with, like, police officers preying on, like, women especially that have committed crimes. Like, you have too much power to take control over people.
Yeah, honestly, I really think that if we're gonna sit there and say, like, male and females need to be separated, then I truly think that they need to have female guards. Like, I think that needs to be separate. And, like, I'm not saying that it can't happen still. Like, it can.
Yeah.
But I also think that we are living in 2022, and maybe we should up our fucking surveillance.
And I think if we held our police more accountable for their actions and didn't play, like, God, essentially, with some people, then it would happen a lot less, too.
I totally agree with that. And, I mean, in America, we know that our justice system is very poor. Our prison systems are not there to rehabilitate like they're supposed to be. So, I mean, it's all profit. They don't care that people are having traumatic experiences in prison. They don't care if they come out and are capable of living in our society. Like, it's straight up just profits.
Yeah. And at this point,
so that's really what needs to change.
We're not saying that any of this was, like, right.
No, yeah. There's so many options we have that we're just not taking because, unfortunately, America is very profit-based.
Yeah, and this is in America. We don't know what's happening in your guys' countries, so.
Yeah, everybody could have a different scenario, like, in your country. It could be better, it could be worse, could be the same. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. We have everybody all over the world listening, so this is just our experience. In 2007, Gibbs' trial began, and despite clear evidence that Gibbs had brutally murdered Mindy after offering his help to carry her items into her apartment, the court wavered on whether he had committed the murder or not. Like, I don't know how, but they did.
There's people that have been put in prison for way fucking less. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's a fucking joke. But basically, they were arguing that the DNA found under her fingernails is what could be called a touch transfer from him just being, like, a nice guy and helping her out.
She wouldn't have scratched him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not, oh my, like, God, I'm getting so fucking pissed.
He literally has documented scratch marks, but let's fucking pretend that, like, it was a touch transfer.
This was, like, you're victim blaming right now, and I hope you feel like fucking shit.
Yeah, no shit, dude. But anyways, a second trial was held after prosecutors could have more time just to, like, gather evidence and, like, get their shit together. And this time we have a surprising testimony. Gibbs' wife had actually left him after the murder of Mindy. At the time, she was heavily pregnant and they were actually in, like, the process of moving. His wife texted him at 12:33 p.m. to, like, bring her a drink because she's heavily pregnant. She doesn't want to get up. And she found it really odd because he actually didn't bring her a drink until, like, 1 p.m.
Where were you, bitch?
Yeah, no shit. Like, what were you doing, motherfucker? Prosecutors cross-referenced this with Mindy's time of death, and they believe that he was in the process of sexually assaulting Mindy, and when she fought back, Gibbs decided to just fucking kill Mindy instead. All in time to bring his wife the drink she texted about.
I can't imagine that he didn't already have intentions of killing her, though, because, like, I don't think he's smart enough to hide his identity. She probably knew who he was, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, they were neighbors, so that really could have been a reason to kill her as well. But the reason that it just seems really weird is because, like, a lot of his past, you know, his past crimes is sexual assault. And when you look at this, like, that didn't happen. So they're thinking that he was going to, but his wife's text actually might have changed, like, the course of what he did.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, he's a terrible human, and
you have to be a special type of, like, murderer to just, like, act normal half an hour after murdering somebody and give your wife a fucking drink.
Not to mention, like, he's been doing this for a while, and I think they were married through it, so, like, he was very good at acting.
Dude, that would fuck me up if I was a murderer, and, like, I would question our entire fucking relationship.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure, like, I'm assuming it was public knowledge when they connected him with the other case, so it's not like you would want to stay. It's not like you could be like, oh, you didn't commit this murder. Like, you're literally, your DNA was on another case. Like, you probably did it.
Good for her for leaving, though, because
yeah,
it's tough, number one. And number two, like, we see the cases where, like, their spouses are so behind them.
Oh my god, yeah. And it's
like, disgusting.
Well, and it's hard to blame them, too, though, because, like, a lot of times people doing stuff like that are going to be, like, very manipulative. And they're going to be good at it, because if you've gotten away with something for a while, you've got it down. So it's hard, because I'm sure they're, like, brainwashed almost. So by this time, Gibbs actually confesses that he killed Mindy to his cellmate. And shortly after, his cellmate decides that he has found Jesus, and he told the police all about it. Like, he rats him right out.
Dude, that's really good, though, because a lot of people, there's, like, snitches get stitches. Like, I ain't fucking kidding.
There's no stitches for snitches if you found the Jesus. It doesn't work that way.
No. Well, you know, as long as he told, that's all that matters.
Yeah, real talk, at least he, like, immediately ratted him out. Like, I'm really happy it worked out that way.
I just don't feel like that happens a lot, so it's shocking.
Yeah, exactly. Usually it's just, like, whatever. The entire hearing lasted 27 hours. I'm not sure why, because, like, to me, this case is pretty cut and dry. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, Gibbs was sentenced to life in prison without any possibility of parole. Gibbs' release date is in 2100, when he would be 128 years old. So, like, he'd be dead.
The way they, like, do sentencing always fucking cracks me up.
Dude, same.
Because, like, one day we will be immortal. Okay? We will be.
Okay, so I like how, like, you went in that direction. And then, like, in my notes, I was like, can you imagine if they just, like, kept the corpse of, like, prison inmates in the cell until, like, their release date?
They'd fucking run out of room.
They would, but it'd be hilarious. Like, we don't want your vibes even haunting
you're
our
so
asses.
Fucking,
like,
offensive.
Stay in there. This is funny, damn it.
No, you know, honestly, it's really hard because, like, when somebody gets a, like, sentencing with 200 years, like, where's the justice? Like, he's gonna be dead before he gets to the years serving for killing my family member, you know?
So, wait, do you want them to have just, like, do you want them to get out, like, the day before they die? I'm so confused.
No. I want them to be immortal so they can serve their entire fucking sentence.
Oh, okay.
Why do they get to die? And
we're talking, like, science fiction. I get you.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I think sentencing is weird.
I mean, it is weird, but we can't prevent them from dying, dude.
I know, but where's the justice? Where's the fucking justice?
The justice is being bored, like, every single day.
I don't fucking know.
As, like, an ADHD person, like, I couldn't do it. Like, I would literally just have to die because I have to be busy 24/7.
Oh my fucking
or
God.
I just, like, want to jump off a cliff.
As someone who should have been a sloth in a previous life, I would be able to do it.
You know what? I think we'd make, like, a really good, like, prison roommates, though, because, like, I would obviously just, like, make a gang.
And you would protect me?
And you would just be like, I'm fine. Like, I'm chilling here.
But, like, I also have, like, social anxiety, so I'd have to hide behind you.
That's, like, a really good point, because I kind of do, too, so maybe we'd just die.
What?
Dude, I hate dealing with people. I'm, like, really confident, but I hate people.
Who the fuck's gonna save us, then?
I don't think anybody.
Okay, so new plan. Don't go to prison. Don't go to prison.
Plan B, stay out of prison.
It was a really bad plan A, so let's just move on.
It really was. Something that, like, I have to know is that Gibbs had actually gotten engaged to a different woman who was in the room during the hearing. And, like, can you imagine, like, your fiance going away for a murder? Like, wouldn't you just shit a fucking brick?
To be honest, this happens more than it is fucking like, okay.
It totally is. It's like, did you know? Did you, like, believe that they just didn't do it? Like, I need fucking answers.
I feel like there's people out there who are just, like, really into serial killers.
Dude, that's, like, a thing, though.
Or serial rapists, you know?
What's his fucking name? Everybody was obsessed with him.
Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yes, wait.
Right? No, not Jeffrey
Dahmer. No, it's not him. Isn't he Uggo?
Ted Bundy.
Yeah, thank you.
The point we're trying to make, you guys, is that you can be a serial killer when you're ugly, and you shouldn't use your looks to get women. What is the point? I don't know what point I'm trying to make. Never mind.
Real talk, though. Like, I feel like Ted Bundy was kind of gross, too. I'm going to say it. Like, dude. Why does he look, like, I don't want to disrespect him like this, but why does he look
what?
Like, the, no, listen, why does he look like the guy from the America's Funniest Videos?
Oh, I thought you didn't want to disrespect Ted Bundy.
No, I'll disrespect Ted Bundy. So,
my thing is I don't think it's about the looks. I think, like,
it's totally his personality.
It's like, when somebody,
he was really confident,
falls in love with, who's the guy that's dating Kim Kardashian right now?
Dude, I don't know.
The one that looks like a guy that came off of fucking Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, are you talking about that one that's, like, dated so many people lately?
Yeah, what the fuck is his name?
It's a whole meme.
I'm making a really funny point right now.
Our listeners are, like, screaming his name at us, I'm sure.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah,
Davidson. So, it's, like, the version of Pete Davidson, like, how he's a comedian and everyone's like, why is he so ugly? But, like, it's with murderers instead. Do you get it? Comedy is the same thing as murder in this sense, is, like, oh, he's ugly, but he's funny. No, he's ugly.
You can't just compare comedy to murders.
Okay, but what? I'm trying. You don't understand why people
are like, you saying ugly. That they like him because it's a concept? They like the concept of him?
Yes. Like, okay. It attracts them. Like, it makes them more attractive when they're killing people. Does that make sense?
Like, it makes sense, but they shouldn't do it.
As people you know who don't I mean? Need therapy, it wouldn't make sense. So,
you, okay, I'm, like, you have a point.
I'm but glad I still you're think confused.
It's, I still
that should be the that should be the new test on if you need therapy or not. I should say that whole line, and if you understand where I'm coming from, then you need help. If you don't understand, then you might still need help.
Okay, I think you're, like, on to something there, but I'm not sure it's fully developed, so you might want to work on, like, a thesis.
I'll come back on that.
Yeah, come, circle back. But, I mean, real talk, if you would be willing to date Ted Bundy when Ted Bundy was, like, in prison, you probably do need therapy, because I'm not down. Yeah. On a more serious note, Mindy's mother, Eunice, is a far better person than I ever could be. Her only statement was, Mr. Gibbs, I forgive you publicly here. I also want you to know that I won't forget what you did to Mindy. My heart goes out to your family and your children. And he had the balls to be like, thank you.
No fucking way.
Like, you don't even speak, sir. You don't even speak. Somebody take his voice. Like, honestly, ew. That made me so mad, and I don't even know why, because she's being, like, super nice and, like, I don't know, somehow forgiving, but
I feel like, yes, the first step to healing is, like, forgiving people, but, like, I can't fucking do that.
Like, good for her. Like, that's super healing and, like, a good thing, and that's, I guess, what you should do to be able to move on. But yeah, I just, like,
I think the biggest slap in the face was him saying, thank you. Like,
yeah. And I'm sure he didn't say it in, like, the pretentious way I just did.
Yeah, but he still had the balls to thank her.
Yeah, that's, like, a lot, dude. Like, you look at the ground and you go to fucking prison, okay?
Yeah.
But anyways, Eunice did go on to write a book about her daughter, and it was published in 2019, so I highly recommend that book to, like, any of our listeners who actually want to gain, like, a mother's insight into the painful experience of losing her daughter, which is something that we've said a lot on this podcast. Like, that's horrible and shouldn't happen, but She might have more insight than I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, this case was a fucking roller coaster, man.
Man, I couldn't even imagine. And like, oh, fuck. He literally preyed on her so hard, like, do you need help into your apartment? Like, fuck you, you piece of shit.
And you know, something that I didn't even think to write into the podcast until now, she had MS, and he likely saw that she was, like, struggling up the stairs,
mm-hmm.
or, like, down the hall, or carrying things. And that just really goes to show, like, disabilities do make you a target. And it's really sad because I'm sure she was willing to accept the help and was, like, excited for it. I mean, this is a person that lived next door. It's not a stranger. And he's a police officer.
I can't imagine they never, like, crossed paths before. And, like, he mentioned she was a police officer. So she probably trusted him in a sense. Like,
thinking about it, he could have still been in uniform. I mean, he was on his lunch break.
That's fucking true, too.
Of course you'd accept help from a cop. I mean, I'm not fucking gonna now, but, like, I'm just saying, like, I don't blame anybody for being like, yeah, that's, like, totally somebody that's gonna help me.
That makes it worse, because he used his uniform as a way to, like, get women to trust him.
Yeah, dude, I'm sure he did that all the time, and that's so fucked.
It shouldn't be like that. So I hope one day it gets better for us, but I know it won't.
Fingers crossed, but I think we're a while away. So anyways, we'll see you guys next time when I come up with another brutal case.
Be safe, guys. Bye.
Be safe. Bye.